will be a light unto their feet, a lamp unto their path. Wisdom, Father, let the church say in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
We receive it.
We receive it.
The word of God.
The word of God.
Amen.
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 Now let's go to Micah. Micah. And so my subject today is knowing your place in the kingdom of God. Everybody repeat that.
Know my place in the kingdom of God.
Know your place in the kingdom of God. Everybody repeat that.
Know your place in the kingdom of God.
Micah chapter 7. Praise the Lord. 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 Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Say, God is a good God. So Micah chapter 7. Let's go to verse 2. And the Bible says, the good man is perished out of the earth. And there is none upright among men. They all lie and wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net. Imagine that. The people that you know in your house hunt you. Verse 3. That they may do evil with both hands earnestly, the prince asketh, and the judge asketh for reward. And the great man, he uttereth his lascivious desire. So they wrap it up. But look at verse 4. The best of them is as a bride. The best of a good man is as a bride. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of thy watching and thy visitation is coming. Now shall be their perplexity. But listen to this. Verse 5. Read verse 5 out loud.
Trust not in a friend. Be not confidence in thy. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom.
Other words, if a woman lay in your bosom, keep your mouth shut. That's how women get sickness from men, when they lay their head on a woman's chest. Or when a woman lay her head on your chest. If you notice Samson, he laid his head on a woman's lap. She got a secret. I've always said that many times in life, I didn't know it was in the Bible. But I said, when I was with somebody, I never talk in the bed. I never talk when I'm around a woman, laying my head on her. Never say anything. Because you know what? They can get secrets that way. But it's in the Bible right here. I didn't know it. But then in verse 7, but in verse 6, it says, the son is honored the father. We find that today. There are many young men dishonoring their fathers. The daughter rises up against her mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Everybody always talks about the mother-in-law, but they never talk about the daughter against the mother. This is Micah chapter 7. Micah chapter 7. A man's enemies are the men of his own what? House. Look at that verse 6. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. Micah chapter 7, verse 7. Therefore I will look unto the Lord. Say, I look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me.
My God will hear me.
Stop that. God. God is watching you. God doesn't like it when you act bad. You disobey your mother and father. God don't like that. So you better hear, okay? All right? You got it? All right.
So you be nice to your mother.
Stop praising the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Say, God is a good, good God. Verse 7. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Say, God hears.
God
hears. Now let's look at this verse 8. Read it out loud.
Rejoice. Not against me. Oh, my enemy.
Guess what? You know what? When you have a problem with your enemy, they like to laugh at you, you know? They say, oh, look at it. They go to church and look at this happening. Look at that happening. But what does the Bible say? Verse 8 and 1 says what?
Rejoice not against me, O my enemy.
That means enemies don't rejoice against me. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. Michael chapter 7, verse 8. But look at verse 9. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him until he plead my cause. Sounds like David, don't it? This is the prophet Micah. And execute judgment for me. He will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness. Listen to that. Verse 9. He will bring me forth to the light. God will take me to the light. He said, and you shall behold his righteousness. But look at verse 10. Then see that is my enemy shall see it, and shame shall cover her, which said unto me, where is the Lord your God? Even folks in your family, they'll tell you the same thing. So you go to that church. Oh, yeah, you are saved. Like I told this one young man, he wanted to take the lady he's engaged to. He said, I want to take and show her my wife. Show her to my mother, my wife, my future wife. I said, I was you. I'll wait till I get married. So the family won't say anything against you. Because you're not married, and you come in with your fiance, they got something to say. They're going to say something when you're married, but it don't make a difference because it's already done. Is that right?
Amen.
I remember when I brought my wife to see my family. They couldn't say anything because I was already married. I already knew I better get married because if I get there and we ain't married, they might say something. So I better go ahead and get married. Do the right thing. See, Spike, he didn't come out of that joint. Do the right thing. God's word say, do the right thing. Say, I do the right thing.
I do the right thing.
It is God who will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness. Now, let's go. Say it with me. Know your place in the kingdom of God. Okay, go to Micah chapter 6, verse 8. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. After that, we're going to go to Judges 14 and 4. Micah 6 and 8. He has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? What does the Lord require of you? Say, the Lord requires.
The Lord requires.
To do justly.
To love mercy, to walk humbly
before him, before my God.
I must be humble before the God of the whole earth, before the God of heaven, before Jesus Christ.
Now let's go to Judges chapter 14. Judges 14. Judges 14. Praise the Lord.
Judges is right after Joshua. Right after Joshua is Judges. So Judges 14:4. Now this is talking about Samson, who went down to Timnah, and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. And he told his parents, "Shall I like this woman?" But in verse 4, it said, "But his father and mother knew not that it was of the Lord." Because they were thinking, you should get one of these women right here in Israel. You don't have to get the enemy. You don't have to get a woman of the enemy of our family. But in verse 4, "But the father and his mother knew not that it was the Lord that he saw an occasion against the Philistines. But at that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel." Say, God gives us dominion.
God gives us dominion.
In his kingdom.
In his kingdom.
At that time, the Philistines ruled Israel. Did you see that? But in verse 5, it says, Samson, he went down with his father and mother to Timnah and came to the vineyards of Timnah. And behold, a young lion came out against Samson. And the Bible says, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And he just grabbed that lion and tore him as if he was a kid. And he had nothing in his hand. That means he was barehanded. When the power of God came upon him, he was barehanded and tore that lion barehanded. But he didn't tell his father and his mother. Say he was a king. In the kingdom of God. And say, the Spirit of the Lord, will come up on me at the right time. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 16. It's right after Ruth. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Verse 1. "And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel?" He told Samuel the prophet to take a horn of oil, and I'm going to send you to Jesse, the best of mine. "For I have provided me a king among his sons." And listen to this right here. And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord." Why would that prophet say that the king can kill him? Because Saul was the king. So the king has what? Dominion power. Of all the 70 sons of him. So when God made you a king, you're greater than the apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, and evangelist in the church, as a priest in the church. You're king first. That means you have dominion power. Yes, you know who you are in the church, but do you know who you are as a king? Let's look at verse 4. "And Samuel did that which the Lord spoke, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, come as you peacefully." You know why they were trembled at the man of God? Because Samuel, when he spoke, none of his words, the Bible say, fell to the ground. Meaning everything Samuel said came to pass. Everything. That's why everybody, when they saw Samuel, when he spoke, everybody was afraid. Because if Samuel said it, it's coming to pass. It shouldn't be that way with you. You shouldn't just say things, call off words. Verse 5, and he said, peacefully, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. But let's look at verse 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or the height of his stature. See, God don't look at your countenance, the way you look, nor how tall you are. Because I have refused him, for the Lord seeth not as a man seeth. Say, God don't look the way I look.
God don't look the way I look.
For man looketh on the outer
appearance. The man looketh on the outer appearance.
But the Lord looketh at your heart. Say, God is looking at my heart.
Right now.
He's looking at my heart.
Even here.
He's looking at the purpose that's in my heart.
The motivation
of myself.
Of myself.
Think about it, Saint. Let's get verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward, so that Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. I've been there, Ramah. But in verse 12, when David came in, he was ruddy, handsome, and withal of a beautiful countenance, good to look at. And the Lord said, get up, Samuel, anoint him, for this is he. With the hand of the Lord be upon you today. You're a king in the kingdom of his dear son. You're a king in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Is the hand of the Lord up on you today. Close your eyes for a moment. And say it over there. God Almighty.
God Almighty.
You made me a king.
May the
kingly anointing be upon me. May the crown of a king
be upon me.
May I be worthy
as
a king in your kingdom. Help me to be worthy to wear that crown. To walk in the kingly anointing. To know that I am a king. And I have dominion power. Authority. Anointing. Words. Of a king in your kingdom. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Now let's look at something here. Let's go to verse 14. It says, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord from Saul. Let's go to verse 23. And it came to pass when the evil spirit of God was upon Saul, David, which God had just anointed, took the harp and played with his hand. So Saul was depressed and was well, but the evil spirit destroyed from Saul. So what that tells you right there is that David fought against that evil spirit that troubled that king. Did you see that? So let's just look at 1 Samuel 17 and 26. But think about it for a minute, saints. David fought against an evil spirit. And that evil spirit had to leave the king. What about you and your family?
When your wife acts up, when your kids act up, when your aunts and uncles act up, or your own father and mother act up, can you drive that evil force away from them? Can you drive that evil spirit away from your children? Can you do it? Are you doing it as a king in the kingdom of Jesus Christ? You got to do it, saints. You do it. God wants you to do it. Jesus said, this kind goeth out but by fasting and praying. You got to be anointed. You got to have the glory of God. Are you doing it? If you're not doing it, get in the mouth of God and do it. Get equipped to do it. Know your weapons of your warfare. Hold your hand right there. Well, we'll wait. I go to something else before we go there. Know your place in the kingdom of God. Let's go to 1 Samuel 17 and 26. And so David, dad sent him out to the battlefield to give his brother provision. And David was listening to this giant, and David spoke to the men that stood by him, saying, what have we done to the man that killeth this Philistine? Because he could hear the Philistine boasting against God, against God's army. So God is looking for a king to get up. He's looking for you to get up off your seat, to fast and pray. You don't fast, I want this car, Lord. I want my bills paid. You're fasting for the anointing. You want the anointing of God. You're fasting and praying. Say, God, I need spiritual equipment. I need to know who I am in your kingdom. I need you, Jesus. Listen to verse 26. And David spoke to the man that stood by and said, what shall be done to the man that killed the Philistine and taken away the reproach of Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? You're in the army of God. When you got saved, Father delivered you from the power of darkness and translated you into the kingdom of his dear son. What are you going to do in the kingdom? But let's go to verse 32. And David said to Saul, let not no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Saul told David, said, you know what? You're just a little bitty kid. And David said to Saul, your servant has kept my father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took the lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him, delivered it out of his mouth when he arose against me. And I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. What does that tell you? What did David do? When that lion came and grabbed that sheep, David ran up to that lion, grabbed him by the beard, by that hair, and pulled him. Took that lion. Grab that lamb and set it free and kill that lion. He did the same thing with the bear. You don't hear nobody doing that nowadays. But what is your lion and what is your bear? What is it that you have to fight to prove you're a king in the kingdom of God? David said, I slew in verse 36 that lion and that bear. This uncircumcised Philistine, he has defied the armies of the living God, meaning he done made the church scared. He done made the people afraid. He done made, he's coming against the army of God. See, when you walk out as a king, the army of God is with you. Jesus said, I can call the legions of angels to be with me. 12 legions of angels. A legion. In the Roman armies, from 2,000 to 5,000 in a legion. Jesus said, I can call 12 of them. That's what Jesus said, I can call 12 of them. Why? He was a king. For this end, he told Paul, was I born? To be what? A king. Say, it's more with me. Than with you. That means the enemy. It's more with you than with the enemy. But let's go to verse 45. David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. The Lord of battle. That's what the Lord of hosts means, God of battle. The God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. But let's go to verse 38. And Saul told David, said, look, let me give you my armor. And then David put on the helmet of brass upon his head and armed himself with the coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor and decided to go. But then David said, I have not proved it. And David said to Saul, I cannot take these. If I have not proved it, meaning David said, I don't know how to fight with this stuff. You can't fight with somebody else's armor. The Bible says, take on the whole armor of God. Meaning, you got to take on some armor. You got to get in the mouth of God yourself to know what you have that God has given you. You got to get in the mouth of God. Do you want me to tell you something? God told me personally, he said, I'm fighting your enemies. That's what God told me. So anybody to be my enemy, God is fighting them. Why? Because I sought the Lord. Not anything I've done, I sought the Lord. I fast and prayed. That anointing didn't come upon me because I sought God. God just don't come out there and just give you stuff. He said, ask. But most folks ask me for stuff that's going to perish. What do you know? What's something that you got that God has given you to fight the enemy with? Tell me something, sister. What do you got? Do you have anything that God has given you to fight the enemy? Huh? Do you have anything?
In the word.
Do you have anything? What word God gave you? Because if you give your word, you'll know it.
Is it the word of the Bible?
I said, what word God has given you? See, when God said he's going to do something, he gives you a word. I give you an example. Psalm 27. The Lord said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? God gave me that word. You said, well, how did God give you that word? What happened? This is what happened. That big giant snake that was coming after me, big as a car, 2 miles long. That's how it looked to me. It looked so big, the mile was big as this building. And I was running. And I kept looking behind me at it because I was saying, I'm running. But it kept coming, mouth wide open. And I said, I rebuke you. Nothing happened. I plead the blood of Jesus against you. Nothing happened. But I kept going. There was a man at the top of the hill when I said, Lord, I need help. And it was Jesus. When I got to the top of the hill in front of him, I turned around toward the enemy. And out of my spirit came these words. This is what God gave me. The Lord is my life and my salvation. Whom should I fear? Then that thing started getting smaller, smaller, and smaller. The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom should I be afraid? And it got so small that when it got to me, brother, it was so small it went under my feet. That's a word. See, when you get a word, you get a word for a cause. David said, is there not a cause
that I should go out and fight and face the giants that are coming against the armies of God. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about some theology. You say, oh, that's the Bible. That's not theology. You take that Bible, go out there, and nothing happens. God has to give you the word. That's why I want you to fast and pray this week for 5 days, 1 meal. Ask God. Say, God, you ask God in fast. The weapons of my warfare. God, what am I working? Oh, yeah, they say it in the Bible, but do you have it? The anointing is in the Bible, but are you walking in the anointing? Are you walking in the glory of God? I got a situation, I go to God. I don't go to my wife, I go to God. Everybody has a situation, something they're about. You got to go to God. Oh, look at that. But let's go to verse 25. David came out. With a man that had on a sword and a spear, a man approximately 9 to 12 feet tall. That's how tall that giant was. Look at David. The Bible said he was sort of stature. David was about my height when I went into Israel and saw the stature. He was about my height. Short guy, little bitty guy. But he had the power of Samson. To grab a lion by the mane, by the hair, and take that sheep out of that lion mouth, he wasn't even thinking. Without even thinking. Took that bear and grabbed that bear. How many of y'all would grab a bear? How many of y'all would even approach a lion? You ever seen a lion? I seen a lion. Matter of fact, I got a picture on my phone of some lions. I'll show them to you. That lion on 4 feet is about this tall. Think about that. Head about that big. Paul's big as a fist there. How many of you gonna grab a lion? I will. A bear too. Let's go to verse 47. And all this assembly said, know that the Lord saved not with the sword and spear, but with the valor of the Lord. Say the valor of the Lord. And he would give you into my hand. That's what he told that Philistine. Verse 47, read that again, Solomon. And the issue of verse 47, it says, for the battle is the Lord's. That same battle in your family is the Lord's battle. That same battle that folks come against you on your job, that's the Lord's battle. But you got to seek the Lord to find out what he wants you to do. How he wants you to fight the battle. You got that? That's why the battle is the Lord. Let's go to Ephesians 6 and 12. Ephesians 6 chapter verse 12. That's why David said, I don't come out here with the army. But let's look at verse 10. Read it out loud. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's what you got to get into fasting and praying. Says, God, I need the anointing to start in you. I need strength, God, for the battle. I need, God, boldness to fight in a battle. Say, God, I need boldness. That's what you got to do when you fast and pray. You got to pray the scripture. Say, God, I need boldness to fight the battle. In verse 11, It says, put on the whole armor of who? What is the armor of God? What is the armor of God? See, I know y'all don't read something in the Bible to me, but tell me, what armor do you have? What is the armor that God has given you? You got to seek God for the armor. See, Paul is back in during the Roman times, and he saw the Roman soldiers. They had a helmet on. They had a sword on. They had the coat of mail on. They had the shield on. Do you see that? What armor do you have when you're in a battle, fighting a battle? What's your shield? What armor do you have? But verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God, that you'll be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Anybody ever play chess? Anybody play chess in here? So to play chess, you have to be a good what?
Schemer.
Schemer. What'd you say? Strategy. That's right. Strategy. That's what it means right here. Wiles of the devil. Schemes. Strategies. You have to know how to wage war in a battle. Because in the military, when we go out and conquer a country, the first thing we put there is a fort. Why do we put a base there?
Stronghold. Stands.
Right. It's a stronghold. We establish a stronghold right there in the midst of the people that we've defeated, that we've conquered. That's why we got bases in Germany. We got bases in Germany right now. Why? Because we came over and conquered the Germans. So we have bases in Germany. We have bases around the world in places that we conquered. That's why we have bases. That's why they send people, when they enlist in the military, they enlist there, whether they're in the Army, Navy, Marines, or Air Force, they're sent into a base, and that base is strength. That base is a stronghold for that particular country that the base, that the Army is from. So we went to Europe. We are the German soil because Hitler was defeated. So we made a base over there. We made a stronghold there. Remember that. Keep that in mind. So we in Ephesians 6 chapter, young man. Ephesians 6 chapter. Now listen to this here. Verse 13. It says, take on you the armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, taking the shield of faith, wherein you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts or the arrows of the wicked. Helmet of salvation, verse 17. Sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's what Jesus was talking about. But verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Let's go back to verse 12. So when David took his harp, God had already anointed, God had equipped him, David, with his power, say power.
Power.
And anointing. What does the anointing do? What does the anointing do, saints? What does the Bible say the anointing do? You don't even know. That's why you ain't anointed. You don't even know what it does. It does what? Say it out loud so we can hear you. Say it out loud. Can't nobody hear you right there. Say it out loud. When you're in a battle, you can't be easy with the devil. If you're walking down the street and a bad fighting dog comes in, what are you going to do? How you going to react? Tell me, how you going to react?
Not me. That ain't happening to me. That's what they teach you there, but that dog won't they grab me anyway. It don't make no difference. All in my job, if you look at a lot of the people's legs, they got dog bites. Scars on their feet, on their legs where dogs come and bit them. Because they tell you, stand still, don't move. Yeah, that dog keeps coming. I've been bit because I was still standing there.
What do we do? Wait.
Like he said, fight it! That's what you do. You fight it, but you use a strategy to fight it. Some people carry pepper spray. Some people walk around with a stick in their hand. Some people take out running. It just depends. I remember when I was a kid and a bad dog came, we looked for the nearest tree. If we know if we can make it to that tree, we run up the tree. I did that many times after dogs came after me. Another thing I did, mama tell us, take a stick. I took a stick with me. That means I have my weapon with me. Yeah? There are times you run. There are times you fight. But God is going to put you there in the test. He's going to give you a battle to fight. What is it that God's going to give you to fight with? David had to fight a lion and a bear before he ever went to the king. It was like when I was a young man, I went hunting. And we caught wolves in the trap, foxes, and I saw raccoons are growling, they'll come running, they'll chase you. Wolves, a pack of wolves will come after you. And so I saw all this stuff in the woods by myself. So when I went to Michigan, walking down the street, and everybody said, get off the street. Here's a gang of boys. Maybe 10 of them coming, 14 of them walking down the street on the sidewalk. And everybody runs in their homes, getting off the sidewalk. And I'm looking on this side of the street and that side, and everybody is in the house looking out the window. I'm not looking out the window. I stayed right there. I kept on walking down the street. I met a gang of boys, and that guy stopped in front of me. You know, they had bats and stuff, you know, chains. They stopped in front of me, and then the leader looked at me, and I looked at him. I wasn't running. I didn't know how to run. I wasn't afraid. I've been out there fighting the animals and the wolves and stuff and killing them. Why was I afraid of a few young boys my age, boy? I wasn't afraid. It didn't even come to me. Everybody running, so I said, hey, I ain't going nowhere. My house was 2 blocks off anyway, so I'm going to run 2 blocks more. Make them boys think I'm chasing me. I ain't running. I met him, he looked at me, he said, hey, how you doing? I said, hey, how you doing? I walked by him, they walked by me. Did you see that? I wasn't afraid. The devil operates on fear. But God can. I can tell you right now. When I look back over and think about it, God can. And one of those same gang members, one of those guys, my brother, riding his bike home from school. Now, my brother's 6 foot already. That boy knocked him off the bike, took his bike, and drove it to his house. My brother came home with a knot up on his forehead. Because I know he didn't just give up that bike. But that boy had to knock him off. So, and my brother was in the martial arts. And I think that martial arts stuff, see, you can have some weapons, but then you don't know how to use it. Same way the church did. God anoints you for battle, and you don't know what to do. He comes back home. My mom, she said, she started, hey, something wrong with the leather. He's out on his bike. Come outside. So I walk outside to see my brother. Not on his head, he crying. 6 foot guy crying. And look at little small me. Look how little I am. I ain't even 5'4", 6'4" inches. This is guy 12 foot. 6 foot. He's crying. I said, what is it? He said, the gang took my bike. Down the street. I said, show me which way. Point that way. I went down there. What do you think? They didn't even think. But I went there. David didn't think. He said, I'm going to fight that giant. I went down there to every street until I looked and saw my brother bike parked outside this house. I walked over there to the door and knocked on the door. And there was about 14 or 15 boys that were crowded in that basement. Full of boys, gang, you know. I said, hey, who rides this bike here? This boy
come up bigger than me, but I didn't care. I just, I'm not thinking. I said, this bike here is my brother's bike, and I came to get it. He said, okay, you can have it. And I drove it back home. By that time, my mom had called my dad up. Left the job, come to the house. Everybody out there in the yard. And I rode back up there with the bike. They said, how did you get the bike? I said, I told him, it's my brother's bike, and I came to get it. And they gave it to me. Said, you be bold for God, God will be bold for you. He'll fight your battle, he'll fight your enemies. My mama was crying, called my daddy. He comes up, he said, you all right? I said, yes, sir, I'm all right. He said, what happened? I said, I told him that's my brother's back, and I went together. But you asked all that. I mean, I was afraid. I didn't think about fear. That city life didn't grip me. I came from the country. That was a time. And I remember I went hunting, and I wouldn't tell my mother this, but I walked in a ravine, which was about tall as that wall, and it was going down like this, in a big branch, deep in this building right here. It was in this big branch. And I was walking down and looking up in the air, looking at these trees from swirling, and it was around October, and all the leaves were still green, so it was hard to see the swirls at that time. And some of the snakes are still out because it's still warm. So I'm not thinking, and I'm walking down in this ravine. And I'm walking, and I'm walking. By the time I get halfway down, I'm looking up in the trees. I heard a voice say, look up. And I mean, look down. So I look down. I have a shotgun right here. And I was in the middle of snakes. It was all around me. Whole bunch of snakes. And I heard a voice say, shoot your way out. You know, I look down. Then I heard another voice say, look up and run. So guess what? I looked up and I started running like this, tiptoeing out of the state. And I ran to the top. And I just stopped and I got way up on the ridge. And then I looked back down. Oh, I was shaking then. I was nervous. You know, because I saw the snakes around me. I was like, whoa. And then I got my gun and came home. Mama said, you back at it? I said, yes, ma'am. See, I said, I didn't see those squirrels. But it wasn't that. I couldn't tell I walked in a pit of snakes. Don't see never that you went under here. So I'm quite sure, when Daddy was out there with that lion and bear, he didn't go back and tell his mama, Mama, I killed this lion and bear. Because then Daddy said, send them other boys out there with Daddy. But Daddy was out there by himself. That's why the Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd. Say it with me, say it. The Lord is my shepherd.
Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down. In the green pastures. Say, the Lord is my shepherd. See, it's not just a scripture. It's not just words. The Lord, he is the shepherd. And you are in his kingdom. Think about this thing. Think about it. Think about it. God will increase your level of rank. And princes you must fight. That means that if you hook that little bit of spirit, God's going to give you some bigger spirits. Did you see that? That spirit that came in my house through the TV was taller than you ever, Pussy. But it had a nose this big, and the nose was this big around, and it was way out there. Big old hog snout. Head this big. Hair. Got this hair over his head. And that thing came through the TV as a flash of light. But caught a lot of look. And it was standing in my house right there. And that thing came over there by me and had me cry for a minute. It said, it was a spirit of depression. It said, yeah, you lost your mother, took your mother down. You know, look at him, his mother died because I'm watching this wholesome movie, I thought. But the spirit comes right out of there. See, the devil is a deceiver. He'll come when you don't expect it. Yeah, you get a scary movie. Yeah, you expect something. But if you look at some kind of family movie, a wholesome movie, you don't expect a spirit there. And I told him, go in Jesus' name. Because I woke up and said, oh. I said, ain't nothing wrong with me. God did not going to heal my broken heart from the death of my mother. And so there was this preacher. But when he was a young man,
God had called the preacher, he had got saved. And he had a little 2-year-old brother. And this 2-year-old brother, he used to cry all the time. Every time he's in his mother's arms, he cried, his dad's arms, he cried. Because the parents wasn't Christian. And his spirit. And this young man, every time he grabbed the baby, his little brother, the baby quit crying. And so everybody's trying to figure out, how does the baby cry all the time? Listen to this. And so one day the young man grabbed his little brother, and the brother instantly stopped crying. But then God opened his spiritual eyes and let him see this demon spirit. That every time his little brother would be with his mother, the demon spirit would come and take his hand, stick him inside his brother, and just start pulling on his organ. And that's what the pain was of that little baby, that 2-year-old baby. And that baby just cried, cried, cried. Because the parents weren't saved, and the demon had a right to that family, had a right to that child, because the parents weren't walking with God. So that tormented spirit would come and stick his hand, pull on the boy and just pull on his heart, just start tormenting. And this young brother saw that. God allowed him to see it. And he rebuked that devil. Then he asked God, said, God? And then you take what the Spirit said to the young man. He said, you know what? He said, you'll be gone, and I'm going to come back and get him again. Because the parents aren't saved. It's very important that you're with somebody that walk with God. Especially children. Children will get tormented too. It reminds me of the time when I was a kid and I was being tormented by a spirit for like 3 days. I was being burned by this spirit, this demon spirit. And I remember when my mother walked in the room to come toward me, lying in bed, burning up with this fever. And you don't have to fear in Jesus' name. Back off. Go. Yeah. And so, I remember laying in bed and looking at the door open and saw my mother walk through the door. She came to our bed and she turns around, walks out the door and shut it. And I remember when I got filled with the Holy Ghost here in Hawaii, God brought all that back to me to see. And I called my mother on the phone and I said, Mama, remember the time I was sick? And I was burning up with fever. I said, well, the door opened, and I saw you walk through the door coming toward my bed. I said, why did you turn back around and leave? She said, I came to pray for you. But I saw my mother by the bed, and so she turned around. She said, her mother said she had me. But it was a familiar spirit that looked like her mother. Yeah, because my grandmother had already went to heaven. But it was a familiar spirit that transformed itself into like her mother. And then, and she listened to it. She should have told the devil to go. I said, Mom, that wasn't grandma. Your mother is already in heaven. She said, I didn't even know. See, if you got the wrong teacher, you don't know how to fight. David knew how to fight because God taught David how to fight. You got it? You have to learn how to fight the devil. You have to learn how to fight the evil spirit that will cause your wife to come against you, cause your husband to get angry and mad. You got to fight that devil. You see that? You got to learn how to fight the spirit. We're a spirit. You got to fight in the spirit. Kids unruly, that means they got a spirit of rebellion. Fight against that spirit of rebellion. If you got to fast and pray, fast and pray. You're in the kingdom of God. You're in the kingdom of Jesus. Think about what comes against your finances. Seek the Lord. Says God, what is it that comes against my finances? Do you see that? But verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You see Saul, King Saul? That was an evil spirit that came against King Saul. Say it with me. That was an evil spirit. That came against King Saul. But then the Bible says, we wrestle not, we fight a lot against flesh and blood, but against principalities,
and against powers, and against rules of darkness of this world, and against spiritual weakness in high places. See, spiritual warfare is about your kingship, because kings put on armor to fight other kings. Do you see that? Kings always put on armor. Give you an example. If you look at the American president, the Russian president, Chinese president, all these are kings in their own respect. It's not just presidents. They're really kings. The military in every country, they fight the king's enemies, right? They have to have a certain kind of armor on. For example, in America, we use airplanes. Well, the enemy got airplanes too. We use submarines. The enemy got submarines. Now, if everybody got fighting tools, what do you think you need to fight against somebody who got the same thing you have? What do you need? What do you think you need? Huh? Strategy. You need a strategy to fight. You got a submarine, I got a submarine. We need a strategy to fight. God has a strategy in the earth. That's why Jesus, he washed us in his own blood. And he made us kings and priests. Unto God, he made us kings in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And you are God's strategy in the earth. But God said, it's more with us than with our enemy. Because why? Jesus, you're in his kingdom. He's with you. You said, well, I'm in the church. Jesus said, I'm the head of the church. I'm the captain of the church. I'm the captain of the Lord's home. Meaning, you are the armies of God. You're in the army of God. Jesus is the head. You got to know who's the head. Seek the head for the strategy of a turnaround in your life. That's what it did. Psalms 144 and 1. I'm going to read in Psalm 144 and 1. I go there and read it. You don't have to really go there. It is he that teaches our hands to war and our fingers to fight. But I'm going to read it anyway. This is a Psalm of David. Psalm 144 and 1. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teaches my hands to war and my fingers to what? Fight. You got to go ask God. Say, Lord, teach me how to fight. How to fight against the evil forces of this day. Let's go back to Ephesians 6 chapter. Verse 12. Lord, teach me how to fight against the principalities, against the powers, and against the rules of darkness of this world and spiritual weakness in high places. Ask God to teach you how to fight. That's what you're going to do on the fast. So, Lord, teach me how to fight. And so God is going to give you some enemies to battle. He's going to give you some enemies to fight. Proverbs 14:28. I'm going to go there. Proverbs 14:28. Let's look at that proverb. I think it's a good proverb to look at. In the multitude of people is the king's honor. That means the king has to have people. Think about it. But in the want of people is the destruction of the prince. That means a prince, if you don't have people, you're not a prince. Do you see that? You're not a king if you don't have a servant. That's why Jesus said you see it. Where with him, where in heavenly places. Look at this sentence. The authority of a prince is destroyed when he lacks people. And the boxes give no place to the devil. Don't give him a position of opportunity. Greek word, topos, position of opportunity. Give no place to the devil. Because if you give a devil a place, Now he's your prince. He becomes stronger over more groups of people. Now he becomes a prince. But if he got nobody, if he comes in here to bother you and you don't give him, and don't listen to him, and don't get on inside, don't let him ride, don't let him drive, he has no authority over you. But the minute you yield yourself to whom you yield yourself to, that's the servant you are. If you yield yourself to the devil, then you're his servant. Fasting and praying help you walk in the spirit, not in the flesh. We're going to fast this week, Monday through Friday, one meal a day. If you can, go with no meal. But if you want to eat one meal, you can eat one meal. But let's look at this thing. When a spirit finds millions of souls under his command, Satan tells that spirit, you are not a regular spirit anymore. I'm going to make you a prince in my kingdom. What God did, he made us a king first in his kingdom. And then he said, you're seated in the heavenly places. The disciples, he told them, say, you're going to be on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Why? Jesus made him a king. He said, you're going to be on the throne. That's why they had a kingdom message. They talked about the kingdom of God. We don't do it today. Everybody today talk about the church. They talk about what they are at the church. You never hear nobody say, I'm a king. You never hear nobody say that too much. They don't know who they are. They don't know they have dominion power in the earth. They just go ahead and take it. The devil said, lay down, they lay down. The devil kicks you and says, oh, let me go to the doctor. Doctor, I'm in pain. Instead of rebuking the pain and telling the devil to go from it. Because if he kicked you one time, he'll kick you again. Look what he did to that young kid. The devil kept coming to the young kid. Kept coming to the kid. Tormenting the kid right in his mother's arms. And he said, the devil said, I have a right to be there because they're not saved. They don't serve God. Do we have a right to be with you? Do the devil have a right to you? Answer me. Do the devil have a right to you? No, he don't have a right to you. Raise your hand. I'm going to look down because you're scared of the devil. I ain't going to tell nobody. If you're afraid of the devil, you need to ask God to hold him. Satan then gives a spirit a seat, a scepter, and sets him up in the air, in the heavens. That's over the realm of the earth. In certain sections in the earth, in the air. Then the prince will have greater drawing power in the heart, in the minds of the people. You would ever wonder why you can go to a place in this hour and that spirit takes go in, eat. You go to another place in the island, the spirit takes it. Look at the women. You go to another place in the island here, it'll take bow, bow, bow. Why? I've experienced it in these islands. I was on Pearl Harbor. This is probably about 15 years ago, 20 years ago. And I remember I was washing clothes at the Washington Theater in town. And I walked over there by the hotel on Pearl Harbor where the Navy comes in to stay. And I'm talking on the phone, and I'm surfing out of my mouth come curse words. I stopped and said, oh, that ain't me. I said, what in the world am I doing cussing? But I entered the territory of that cussing spirit. Because you've heard, I've heard this term, that the sailors curse more than anybody. You heard that? Do they?
No, I don't do it.
No, I'm saying do it. You was in the Navy. You was around.
A lot of them cuss, yeah.
A lot of them really, really curse?
A lot of
them
curse, yeah.
What about you? You heard that?
Yeah.
Do they really curse?
Yeah, just now.
I want to ask because, you know, I just like to know. I was in the Army, and I know the Army curse. What about the Marines? Do they curse? Oh, they don't curse. Who curse more, Navy or Marine?
Marines.
I know when I was in the Army, I was a backslider, but I remember I came to visit my mama, And I'm going to tell you, the cuss word came out of my mouth, and I couldn't hold it back. And I didn't catch her, but you know, we were just talking, and the cuss word, boom! It scared me. I said, oh, no. I know I done got bad. I said, I want to stay away from around my mama because I cuss too much. But I had that cussing spirit. Says God. But God set me free from it. Let's go to Ephesians 3:10. That's not too far. To the intent now that the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. See, the church would know that there are principalities and powers in heavenly places. God wants you to know that. That's why you have to have seek the Lord. Now, Jesus called these princes strong men. Let's look at Luke 11, 21. See, God wants you to know Luke 11, 21. Let's go there for a minute. Luke 11, 21. And this is Jesus talking. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, said, we're stronger. Said, we're stronger than the devil.
We're stronger than the devil.
A principality is the fort of a prince. Kingdom is the fort of a king. You know, we've been in forts, what you call them bases now. The Navy called them bases. Military, the Army, we call them forts. What does the Marine Corps call them? Base. Like the Navy, right? Y'all call it a base. The Air Force, they call it a base. But the Army, we call it a fort. F-O-R-T. It's a strong place. Empire is the fort of an emperor. That's why during the Roman times, the Romans, the Bible said, had the greatest kingdom in the earth was the Roman kingdom, the Roman Empire. That was the greatest kingdom in the earth, the Romans. Not the Greeks, not the Persians, but the Romans. The Iranians, they're the Persian Empire. The Roman Empire was the Italians. But you see how small they are today. But the spirit is still there. The spirits of every empire is still in the earth, even though the empire has ceased to be as a great empire, but there's a smaller version, but the remnants are still there. Got it. So those spirits are still in the earth today. Got it. During Jesus' time, the Antichrist spirit that came against him still in the earth today. A fort is established to better control the people. That's why we have forts in foreign countries. We have control of that country because we got a fort there. We got strong men there, meaning we got tanks, armor, weapons. We got everything we need for a battle right on that base. The personnel, the weapons. So God has a base. You ever thought about churches as being a fort of God? Never thought about that. Ever. Church is a base. That's a fort of God. Do you see that? Where God's army, they come together. Then they understand who they are in God. In the army of God. Because if you didn't have a church, you really wouldn't know what to do. Say, God is a good God.
God is a good God.
And I need to know.
And I need to know.
Let's go to Ephesians 6. And 19. for me, this is Paul talking, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Say the mystery of the gospel. It's for me to know that I may be bold to declare the kingdom of the word, the word of the kingdom, to declare the good news. Ask God for boldness to be out fast this week. 1 meal a day this week, Monday through Friday. If you can, never. But in verse 19, Paul said, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Say the secret. Ask God for the secret of the kingdom, the secret of the gospel. Ask God for the boldness of the gospel. What to say? Ask God for a second. Ask Him for the anointing to anoint you afresh. Ask God if you got any problem or any situation. Give it to God this week. Ask God to send more neighbors in His vineyard. Ask God to send more people to this church. I want everybody to talk to at least 10 people this week to tell them about Jesus. And invite them to church. Not somebody going to some other church, but just talk to them about Jesus. Then if they ask you where you go, you can tell them where you go. But just talk to them about Jesus. Get some people saved this week. How many of you going to try to get somebody saved this week? At least one person. Raise your hand. I want everybody to raise their hand. Try to get at least one person saved this week. What about you, Mr. Montgomery? All right. Give their testimony. We'll be looking for it next Sunday. At least one person can get saved. I know I can. But let's pick out offering today. Let's take our offering today. Would you like to take Brother Ben? All right. Let me tell you the truth. Willingly, God loves a cheerful giver who gives willingly. If you don't willingly want to give it, don't give it, because it's not going to profit you nothing. But God loves a cheerful giver who willingly gives. Willingly give. Let your heart be glad to give to the Lord. Because I tell you right now, we actually pay too much for this building. We pay a lot of money for this building. Y'all know that, don't you? We pay a lot of money just to have this place. Say God is a good God.
God is a good God.
Say it with me, God is a good God.
God is a good God.
Okay, get on this side. Say it with me, God is a good God.
Say God
does more than I can ask or think. Father, as they've given willingly, Father, if they haven't given willingly, Lord, you deal with their hearts. But we give to you willingly, God, because we love you. And you loved us. Not that we first loved you, but you loved us. And you love to do good things for these people, God, for your children, for the kings that you have here, for your priests, oh God. Lord, let them know, reveal to them that you love to give them good things, Father. Whatever they ask, you'll do it. And we just pray, God, that you'll multiply. You multiply to the fish and the loaves to the 5,000, the fish and the loaves to the 7,000, to the 7,000, to the 4,000. God, you multiply the fish and the loaves to millions in the earth today.
that we haven't heard about until we get to heaven. But you are a great God. Lord, may it be multiplied to us more than enough. Too much, God. Overflowing, we pray. Everybody say overflowing.
Overflowing.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Stop. Too much.
Too much.
Amen.
Yeah, you may put the offering over there.
Anybody got a testimony? Do anybody have a testimony? You got one? Okay, give your testimony. And then you give your testimony. And then you take the communion. All right?
Thank God, because I was in Washington last night, and I had about 50% of my car left.
50%? What does that mean? $50 left?
No, that just means I'm about halfway from 0% down now.
Yeah, percent of what? I mean, the car about to, half your car is about to leave?
Battery.
Oh, battery, okay.
So I can make it back home.
Okay.
Young soldiers hopped in and it says over 40 minutes. And it's time to leave.
Oh.
So I just said, well, is it okay if I keep the windows down? I'm going to go fast on the freeway. I said, oh, yeah, it's fine. But I got there, got to the embarrassed, there was like 20% left. Thought I was going to call a tow truck or something, call my dad. But it sounds like God was like, you're gonna make it. So I'm like, all right. So I was going kind of slow on the wheel, 30, 40, people passing me up. But thank God I made it. Made it to the charging station. And then there's a few more right after that.
Cool. So what is 20%? What is 20%? How many miles can you go on 20%?
20 miles.
Oh, 20 miles?
Schofield.
Oh. So how far is Schofield from Waikiki?
After that, the closest one, we have a turtle one in Pearl City.
Okay.
So I'm thinking 20 miles from Schofield to Pearl City on the freeway. And the devil was like, you ain't gonna make it. The devil was like, put over something. And just leave the car there over there. Thank God I made it.
Amen.
I don't know how I made it, but
God, say Jesus.
Jesus.
Shout Jesus.
Jesus.
Hey, say it, young man. Shout Jesus.
Jesus.
Say it with me. Jesus.
Jesus.
All right, all right. All right, sir.
When you go up and take communion, you can get the testimony.
I received two checks of mail, which I wasn't expecting, which is very, very nice, and I appreciate God being a big difference for me. So I just give him the honor and glory, because I never expected to receive even one. I turned around to receive two. And then God
is good. Shout Jesus!
Jesus!
Amen. There you go. That's what I'm talking about. Jesus did. So you're going to take that. You're going to take the communion, sir. Do you want somebody to pass it out for you?
Okay.
All right. All right. Oh, yes, ma'am. Yeah, we want to hear you. Yes, ma'am. We want to hear you. Yeah. No, it's all right. You just give it up. That's fine. I'm not going to get mad about that. I won't get mad. I'll stay home.
My testimony is, I know we had shared with you guys that we're going to go see one of our close family friends. Her daughter was in the hospital, care home.
Uh-huh.
But when we got there, her mom told us that she had blood clots in her legs. This was 2 years ago.
Okay.
And they gave her some kind of medicine to help it pass.
Blood thinner?
Yeah. And then, it came to find out that she, after they did that, she was having congestive heart failure. So she wasn't able to lie down, so she would sit up. So when my friend took her to the hospital emergency again, they were going to do surgery on her. But every time they tried to lay her down, she couldn't breathe. But then they had sedated her and laid her down, and she had a heart attack while they was trying to do the surgery. So they cut her open, broke her rib, stuck their hand in there, revived her. She was dead for 8 minutes. And now that she can speak to her mom, she can, you know, say things. Her legs are okay. Just her hands, right hand is like still kind of paralyzed. Left hand, she just has like a fall. But, you know, God is so good. It's so good that she came out of it. They put a breathing apparatus over here for her, but they're trying to take it out now. They're trying to plug it to where she can breathe normally and swallow to try to get her to eat normally and drink normally because she's too fat. But, you know, God is so good. And she was, she's a Christian, and she did a lot of things in the church where she went to. And she, you know, she was on fire for God and everything. But her mom goes to another church, and she's on fire for God. So we know that, you know, God didn't do this to her.
Amen.
And the devil is trying to get her.
Uh-huh.
To win her over, to get to the family so that they don't get saved. You know, and she encouraged us even more than we encouraged her. You know, but, you know, we prayed for her, we glorified God, and, you know, we gave thanksgiving to Jesus that, you know, the doctors are trying to get her to get up and move and close everything off, get her to talk more. You know, so we know that's all the glory of God.
Amen.
You know, it's for, she's going to be a great testimony.
Amen.
For the Lord.
Amen.
A great testimony.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. All right. Wait a minute. You got testimony? Go ahead, because he's going to dismiss us too. He's going to dismiss us too.
Okay.
So just... Well, you
want to break this? My testimony is praising God. This past week, on Thursday, I was off on my birthday. And that day, I had to go and renew my my PUC. So I don't mind what, you know, I was waiting for that. You know, go there and take control of my state, you know, stuff like that. And I went there. The first reading on my blood pressure was 146, that was too high. 146 to 112. 146 number and 112, that was too high. Then they told me, go in that room and think about surfing. So I went into this room, you know, the AC is on, fully black. I sang songs to my God, because my God has changed my life. And I asked God, Lord, you be my doctor. You take my opinion. You change the number. They said it, but you can change the number. You can change the paper. So by the time they come out, they took a reading. It was 136. And I don't know, it was like 89. All you hear, I thought it was 139 was all good, and below 89 is all good. But now they're telling us it's 132, below 132. That's normal. So I think, after the Lord, they're trying to make money out of us. 138 and 137 is good to you, Lord. So you take it, you bring it down. The last one came out, and they passed me for one year. I said, thank you, Lord. That was the greatest gift that you blessed me for my birthday, is to me to pass that PhD, because I was all in my mind worried about, you know, I'm not going to make it out 3 more months, got to go back, or 2 more months, I got to go through this. But God is a great God. In a darkest moment, or your desperate moment, God will step in that time. Whatever the world say, whatever people may say, you know, they believe God or what, God will step forward for your part. And I'm glad that there's a God that answers our prayers. So I give God all the glory for who He is, you know, our family and our foundation. Amen.
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 So I went to take a physical. And he just reminded me, so I went to take a physical. You stand up, stay standing. I went to take a physical. And when I went to take a physical yesterday, they said my blood pressure was high. But I know the devil is alive. And so they said it was 144. What is it, 44 or whatever it is,
144.
Huh?
144 over...
Yeah, 44. And so the lady said, well, go in the room and then just lie down for 10 minutes. And so I went in there, and then they waited about 10, 15 minutes and came in and said, oh, it's 122 now. I said, oh, I told the lady, I said, the only thing I drank was some tea. And then tea had me buzzing because there's too much caffeine in it. Whatever the tea was, I said, that's all it was. I said, hey, there's nothing wrong with me. And so they passed me on my physical there. And so I gave God the glory. And he just made me remind you of that. So
I went to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. You can look at it there. You can see it on the left side of the page. Do you see it? Right there, it's on that page right there. It's right there. It's out. You see it in red when Jesus was speaking? On the left side of the page. What does it say?
Okay. It says, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. He broke it and said, take, eat this in my blood, my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.
Uh-huh.
So we take body, we break it. We remember the Lord Jesus Christ. We eat, we just thank him for his body.
Are you going to tell us to eat?
I said it.
Uh-huh.
At the same manner, having took the cup, when he had supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my body. This doeth ye as often as ye drink in remembrance of me.
This test, read that again. That's good.
This cup is a testament in my body. This doeth ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me.
Ye means you.
Well, I mean.
No, you. That's what it means. So speak to us again like that again.
This cup is the New Testament in your body. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.
All right.
For this cup we drink, and we remember of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we drink it in remembrance of his body, for his blood that was shed for us. This is true. Jesus. We praise and thank the Lord Jesus.
Father, we give you all the honor. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. Hallelujah. Thank you for your body. Thank you for the blood. Lord, we thank you for the blood.
Thank you, Lord, for all the honor, all the praise. We give you all the honor, all the praise, for your blood. We just praise you and honor you.
Just praise you. Just thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' holy precious name. Amen.
Amen.
I think God spawned one. Anyways, I think it's one of the common things I want to say. Let's go. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for who you are in our lives. We praise you. We praise you, Lord, because you've given us your Son, the greatest of all. And to let us know that who we need to follow, what we need to do. And we just know that your love is sufficient for all of us. Your love will touch us and take us to where we've never gone before.
Yes.
And we just praise you. We honor you. We ask you, Father, to go with every family in this room. Yes. And be with them all this whole week. Be with them the rest of their life. Let them know that you are the Lord thy God, creator of all. And we just praise you and honor you in Jesus' holy precious name. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, I have one
may
question.
Go with peace.
All right. I have one question.
I have some other bills.